Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Michael Tucker with the Real Estate Success Strategies Podcast. Listen, today is another amazing conversation I'm going to have with a great friend, Charlie Ashley. Charlie, how's it going, brother?
Fantastic. Just talking before I closed on my first flip right before this recording. So life's pretty good.
Yeah, he's
right
having
now.
A great day. So he just bought his first flip. And so I'm really excited. Now, Charlie, I was in the same real estate investment group as he is. And so we reached out, connected when I heard that he was on a Bigger Pockets podcast. And yeah, I've just been watching him and seeing him. He's been keeping me updated. And it's been amazing. He just purchased his first flip. And he should be able to flip it and make a really decent amount. How much do you think you're going to be able to make on this flip, man?
It could be a six-figure flip. Realistically, probably 80,000. Worst case, 40-50. But we'll see.
Right. Well, that's awesome.
On paper, it's an amazing deal right now, though.
Yeah, that's awesome for your very first flip, man. So congratulations on that. And guys, I wanted to bring on Charlie to talk about using lines of credit and specifically home equity lines of credit to fund deals, because there's a lot of us, we're looking for different creative ways to fund deals, and maybe we don't have that much cash, you know, we're kind of strapped at the moment. And so I wanted him to come on here and share his experience and just share, you know, how he's been able to utilize that. So before we get started though, I want to remind you guys, listen, we have a whole library of knowledge for you in past episodes. So make sure you go back, listen to past episodes. We have episodes on funding, on wholesaling, flipping, buying rentals. The list goes on and on. So make sure you go check those out, and then also subscribe and leave us a review if you'd be so kind to. So anyways, let's hop right into the conversation today, man. I'm so pumped. Let's talk about this flip real quick, you know, just because I'm sure there's many people out there wondering, oh, I want to start flipping properties too, right? So like, how'd you find this? So just give us a rundown. This was your very first flip property. So give them, you already told me the story, but tell everybody else how you found this deal, you know, what you plan to do with it and the whole end game.
Sure. So how I found it, a wholesaler reached out to me that heard me on the Bigger Pockets podcast. So that was amazing.
Right.
And it was his very first one. So he was just looking to move it, get it assigned very quickly, I think, which was great. So he reached out. I went to go see it. I ran my numbers. He had his asking price. We negotiated back and forth a little bit and settled at 267. So I think he was asking for 273. I got it down to 267, essentially by just showing him my numbers and explaining it. Then closed on it an hour ago. But in between getting under contract with him and closing, that's when I think the majority of the work on a flip happens. So a lot of people think it's the work that happens after you close, which is very true, especially right. If you do the work on yourself. But from my point of view, I mean, I'm on cruise control now. The managing the renovations is the easy part in my mind. It's getting everything set up beforehand. So it took about 4 weeks to get to closing. And in that time, I was reaching out to all the contractors I've worked with before, quoting out all the materials, getting all the measurements for the things I needed. I needed a little bit of redesign for the kitchen and the bathroom, so getting those plans set in stone. So that was all the hard work.
Right.
Going up and signing the closing documents is the easy part. And as soon as it closed, I just text all my contractors, go.
Yeah, man, that's so true. A lot of the work is done before the, you know, you even close on the property. And I think that's where, you know, over the past year, I've learned a lot too. You know, I'm not like an expert or professional. I tell people I'm just an average Joe, just trying to take action. And part of mine was I waited too long, right? I'd wait till closing to start finding the contractors and stuff, but you're smart, man. You're doing it right before. So anybody that's out there that wants to flip, make sure you're preparing before. If you know you're going to close on it, you know, if something does, you don't think anything's going to come up, start preparing and getting ready. So that's awesome, man. But from what I know and from what I've, you know, just talked to you about in the past, like you have a little bit of real estate background. And so where did that come from? Like, how did you get started in real estate? Where do you come from, man? Because our audience doesn't really know who you are. So give them a quick background about, you know, who you are, what you do, and how you got into real estate.
Absolutely. So this is my first flip, but I've done a few houses before as rentals. My journey in real estate started in late 2018. It's almost 2 years ago,
okay.
Almost on the dot. I still have it. I owned a house in Northern Virginia, Fairfax County.
Is that where you're from?
So grew up in Fairfax County, Virginia, went to school there, went to college in Radford, Virginia, which if anyone knows Radford, we're most famous for being next to Virginia Tech. That's like our claim to fame.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's all you're known for, right?
Right. And then from there I did, you know, graduated with a degree in psychology and computer science, got a job right away, and just was on that grind, working a lot, progressing in my career, which has been great. I get a lot. I still plan on doing it for at least the next couple years. But when I finished school, my dad sold me his house.
Okay.
In a great deal. So he sold it to me for $195 and appraised for $350.
Oh,
which
wow.
Which is like amazing. that's kind of like a once in a lifetime kind of thing.
Right.
But from there, like I just lived in it, did the normal thing, paid the mortgage. Didn't get into the investing part until 2018, a couple years ago, when met the love of my life and had to move to be with her in Lexington. So I had a need come up to rent this property, and I had no idea how to do it. I had nothing. I knew you could charge rent. That's about all I knew.
Right.
So from there, that's where my education started. Got that all figured out, went through a renovation on that property, got it leased out, got that first rent check and said, this is amazing. And the first week I was in Lexington, I was already calling agents and going to go see houses and start things there. And from there, this is my sixth house closed on today.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, awesome, man. So tell me, let's talk about funding a little bit, man. So how did you fund this past deal? I'm just curious, you know, just everybody else is probably curious too. How did you fund this last flip you just purchased today?
Yes. So this one is a patchwork to get to 100% financing. So the pieces of the puzzle are, the first piece is a construction loan.
Okay.
Which is essentially, it's a commercial product. Like it's not something you're going to get like a 30-year fix or 15-year right. fix, Fannie Freddie, none of those kind of things. So it's a commercial construction loan. It's a 12-month interest-only loan at 4%, which is incredible.
Oh, wow, yeah. We get those at 4.5 from where we get them, so not too much difference.
Gotcha. Yeah. You got to talk to Amy at People's Exchange. She'll hook you up. But, 4% interest-only, 12 months. They'll do 80% of the purchase price and 80% of the renovation.
Okay.
So the purchase price is a fixed number. That can't move. But in the renovation budget, I'll come with my estimate and then multiply by 1.25. Because then when the bank gets it, they'll multiply it by 0.8.
Right.
And how it works out is it is 100% finance at that point.
Gotcha.
And as long as the numbers work, because they order an appraisal subject to the repairs. So the appraisal for this one came in at 440. So from there, they do their math and subtract the numbers and make sure it's going to be profitable and go from there. So that's one piece. Second piece is I have to come up with that down payment and any difference in the actual renovations and all the materials. So from that, that's where I used a home equity line of credit from that very first deal from before. And on top of that, I used the Home Depot and Lowe's credit cards, 0% interest
right.
for 6 months. So using those three pieces, I'm able to kind of wheel and deal and not spend a dollar,
right?
Quote, out of pocket.
Gotcha. Well, awesome, man. So you said you're using home equity line of credit for the down payment from the house you bought from your dad, right?
Yes.
Gotcha. And how many times have you utilized that?
On every property.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that's yeah. what I want to touch on today. So everybody that's listening on here, they may or may not know about home equity lines of credit. So let's dive deeper into that. Let's talk about that because HELOCs, we call them, can be a great asset to buying properties. So just a quick rundown, Ash, or Charlie, just give a rundown about what a HELOC is, you know, and who can use those.
So if you own a house and you have equity in it, you can ask for a HELOC from your bank. It's pretty much as easy as making a phone call. If you've gone through buying a house, you know how much of a pain in the butt it is to get that initial financing. They want a million pieces of documentation, your tax returns, you know, people you went to school with as references, like they want everything. It's ridiculous. A HELOC is the complete opposite of that. You make a phone call and say, I'd like to open a line of credit. And essentially, they kind of rubber stamp it through. You can get them in a couple weeks. It's a much more streamlined process. They usually don't even need a full-on appraisal. Sometimes they do, but it's, you know, an appraisal takes a couple weeks, and you go from there. Typically, what most banks do is they'll lend 75 to 80% of the value of the home. So if your home is worth $100,000, give you up to $80,000 in a line of credit, subtracting your original mortgage. So if your original mortgage balance is $50,000 and they come in and say your house is worth $100,000, they'll lend you up to $80,000,
right,
subtracting the $50,000. So you get like a $30,000 line of credit from there.
Okay.
There are banks that do more than that. You have to call around. I just know there's two in Lexington that do it. I can't remember the name of one, but the one I went through, my personal house here, a second line of credit, a different house, was UK Federal Credit Union. It was a terrible process, terrible customer service, but they gave me 100% loan to value HELOC.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. So that's very interesting, man. Like everybody that's listening, their minds are probably opening. And so what interest rates do you usually see on those? Because just for everybody, they're lines of credit, so you have to pay them back, right? And you're using your equity in your home. You can go around to whatever you want with it, but they must be paid back. So, you know, what kind of interest rates are you looking at on those?
Yeah, it's a very good point. You have to pay it back. So the interest rates vary, and I think they vary by either month to month or by quarter. They should tell you when you close what the rate is going to be based off of.
Okay.
But I think one goes off like the Wall Street Journal posts what the prime rate is, and they add a point on top of that. So for the one in Virginia, the rate's 4%. I think it's 3.99%. And the one in from UK Federal Credit Union here is 3%, 3.25%.
Okay.
It's pretty wild. And then, yeah.
And just so you all know, a lot of times they base this off of credit too, if I'm not mistaken, your rates, the higher, your credit score, the cheaper rate you get. So, from what I've seen, is that true? Is that what you're seeing as well?
I assume it is. I never asked about it. I probably should.
You probably have good credit then. So
yeah.
That's awesome, man. So for everybody that's listening to this, it's cool because you don't have to even have your own equity in a home. So you're probably sitting here thinking, listen, I rent a home. I don't even, have my own place. Can I still do this? Yes. You can actually utilize other people's home equity lines of credit to do this. And I know several of my friends have done it. And I'm sure, you've probably thought about it before. Have you ever done that, Charlie?
I'm working on it.
Working on it.
It's essentially like arbitrage. So like if I have $50,000 in credit available at 4%, I can essentially loan that to someone else as a private money or hard money loan at 8 or 12%.
Right.
And it'll work for them. They'll give the monthly payment to me, and I'll take the difference in that interest payments. Okay. Is that what you're kind of going for?
Gotcha. No, I was actually, so I know, understand what you're saying, which is clever, very, very clever. And I never actually really thought of that, to be honest, but I was talking about using, so let's say my dad, he has a property. Let's say he has $50,000 in equity. I can use his equity to go out and buy properties. I need to make an agreement with him, right?
So
I may say, hey, if you'll let me use your equity in your property, I can pay you, an extra 2% on that or whatever it is, right? And so have you ever done that or seen anybody do that?
I'm not, but absolutely. If you know people that own their house or see if you get that sweet deal from your parents, I mean, absolutely go for it. But discuss the terms. You gotta have that trust in place, and you gotta execute at the end of the day. You gotta pay it back.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff we're talking about, guys, like if it was my own, I would be comfortable doing it like on my first flip, right? Like using my equity. But if you're going to be using other people's equity and doing what we're chatting about, you want to make sure you have the knowledge, the experience, and you have that trust. Like Charlie was saying, you need to make sure you have some kind of contract in place, because if something happens, you have to pay that equity back and you owe them money. So it's another loan pretty much that you're paying. So, you know, make sure you save yourself there and you're prepared. So that's pretty cool, man. So let's dive in and talk about, you know, some of the other properties you have. You said you have some rentals, man. What's that look like?
Yes, I have 3 long-term rentals, 1 in Virginia, 2 in Lexington. Actually, I got to double check. It's a good problem to have. I'm like losing count now. But yeah, okay. 1 in Virginia, 2 in Lexington, long-term rentals. So 3 long-term rentals total. Okay. And then 1 Airbnb in Lexington.
How's that Airbnb
and
doing?
Then I have a live-in flip I'm in now. I'm sorry?
I'm curious to hear how the short-term rental is doing right now in the middle of COVID. So if you're listening to this, like maybe, I don't know, a year ahead, guys, right now we're in the COVID-19, you know, pandemic. So I've been really interested to hear how short-term rentals are doing. So can you just, I know we're kind of going down a rabbit trail, but tell me a little bit about that. Yeah. How's that going?
Absolutely. I honestly can't believe it. This project almost killed me. It was a huge renovation. Finally got it done, way over budget, but it was done. It was beautiful. Listed it, and it was booked immediately. Within 24 hours, it was booked. And July was the first month, the first full month it was live. It was rented 28 out of the 31 days in July.
Wow, in the middle of all this craziness, that's amazing.
Yeah, so and I just got the statement a couple of days ago from the property manager, and it was like income, $2,800.
Dang, man.
you have your expenses from there. But I mean, as a long-term rental, it would have gone for like $900. So instead of that $900 rent, I'm getting $2,800. And then in August, where we are now,
a lot of less maintenance as well, I would imagine. You know, you had to probably, you have a manager in place, so that's awesome. So that's cool. I would say long-term, it's probably better, right?
And it's a brand new house. It's essentially new construction, so no CapEx, no maintenance. There's just the property manager fees, the small amount of materials from there, and the debt service. I'm like, dude, it's going to be a cash cow, hopefully, moving forward.
Well, keep us updated on that, man. That'd be awesome. So did you use your home equity line of credit for that, too?
Yes, yeah. So this is my... I kind of same thing and patchworked everything together. So I did the initial purchase with the HELOC. So it was $42,500. So I had enough of my line of credit just to buy it in cash using that.
Right.
Then I refinanced that with a construction loan because it was a massive renovation. It ended up being $105,000 to fix it.
Oh, wow.
So refied into a construction loan. And then since I went so massively over budget on this, I had to use my line of credit to make up for where the construction loan ended. So I was approved, the construction loan ended and I had to keep, it wasn't done. So I'd use the line of credit to keep going to finish it out.
Right.
And then from there, I've just been using every extra penny to pay down because you got to pay it back.
Right.
To pay down the line of credit so I can keep using it going forward.
Yeah. So what have you been doing? So you've been just refinancing after every project, pretty much just to pay back that home equity line of credit. Is that what you've been doing? Trying to.
Yeah, essentially. So this Airbnb took a big chunk out of it because it was so expensive to do. From there, my live-in flip helped replenish that a lot because the quick numbers on that one, I was all in for $227,500. And I was able to pull out $245,000.
Okay.
And that was a combination of refinancing into a 30-year fixed and then getting another line of credit on top of that up to the $245,000 mark. And so that difference, I essentially pulled all that out and used that to pay down my other line of credit and just keep going. Yeah.
Gotcha. Awesome, man. Well, that's very interesting, man. So is there anywhere specific that you kind of learned about home equity lines of credit? Or is that something you just knew about? Like, where did you get that knowledge starting out, just for our listeners?
I think I got mine done right before I moved to Kentucky. So this is late 2018. And I think I ran into the same problem everyone has, is the same question everyone thinks of, is this makes sense. Rental properties or flips sound great. you know, you buy it for less and then you fix it and sell it for more. It's an easy equation, but how do I fund it? And I just started, I think I just looked at my bank. I just wanted to see what products were available. I read on the Bigger Pockets forums what other people were doing. You hear about people doing these on other podcasts, but you kind of got to piece that information together from like, oh, I heard about it here. If people listening now, I heard about it here, but
right,
like, what are the details? So once you hear about it, I mean, just call your bank and start there. Ask, what, see what they'll do. It might not work, but you'll kind of get more information of what they do and how their process works. And if that doesn't work for you, that's fine. But when you call the next bank, you'll have that context of what other bank will do, and it'll just kind of help you go forward until you find the one that actually works. But yeah, I think I just heard it or read about it from other people doing it and then called my bank and went from there.
Well, that's awesome, man. That's cool. So guys, what summarize what he's saying, just stay educated and stay out there networking. And we talk about this stuff all the time, right? So go out there and make sure you're always, because people are always trying to beat each other at rates, and they're trying to, you know, have the best loan product and things like that. So always, like, I would recommend, like, once or twice a year, just all the banks you talk to them again, because you never know what could be changing in that market or in that bank. So, you know, somebody may take over the bank, buy them out, and, you know, something totally different may change. So constantly, building that list of networks and hearing out about the rates and things of that nature. But dude, I'm so pumped for you, man. Your first flip you closed on, you have some income coming from these properties, dude. So what's long-term? I never really asked this question to people, but I want to start doing it. What's your long-term, real estate plan? Like, do you have anything right now, or what's it look like for the future?
It's a good question. My buddies keep asking me when I'm going to quit my job.
So everybody, you're listening. He's doing this all full time. You have a full time job, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. 40 hours a week or more?
Hills and valleys. It's nice working from home, but yeah, on paper, 40 hours a week.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. So
some weeks it's 20, some it's 50. Yeah.
Charlie is proof that you can do this even while working 40, 50 hours, maybe you work 30 hours. You can do this. You just have to be creative and you have to find the means to do it. So if you're really wanting to, you can. So that's cool. Sorry, I just want to throw that in there. So what's the future look like, dude?
Yeah, well, I'm going to get this flip done. And then from there, if it works out on the higher end of what I think it will, a couple of friends of mine bought a couple of apartment buildings, and that's their thing. So I never thought I'd be buying an apartment building, right, ever. But seeing this flip money come in, if I do it right, it's like, oh man, this is very, it's kind of perfect timing. This flip was closing and they send me MLS deals that pop up, and a couple 16 or 18 units popped up, and the price, I was like, oh, if I flip this, I could use the profit as a down payment for this apartment complex. So right. I think that's what I'll go for next. Maybe do another flip if it makes sense. But yeah, long-term, I love it so much. I'm sure you see the same thing in your business, but it's just so amazing taking these terrible distressed properties that need a lot of love and turning them into something amazing for like a safe place, affordable place for someone new to come and rent. Or if you're flipping, to see people come in and just be like, we love this house. This checks all our boxes. We can't wait to buy it. Or in the Airbnb, I love reading the reviews. It's so nice seeing those reviews and seeing people say, like, I had a couple, but one said, my bridesmaids and I stayed in this house. It was amazing. It was perfect. So my That's little awesome, Airbnb man. is part of their day. And another one just from this morning was some parents moved their student into UK. So my little house is going to be part of their memory. And I think that's amazing. So I just would love to keep doing this full time and keep going with the rentals and flips and maybe buy some apartment buildings down the road.
Yeah, dude, you got a big future for sure. And I can't wait to see, you know, you buying these apartments and things. And that's the cool thing about real estate, guys. You know, a lot of people think, you know, real estate investors are greedy. You know, they all these, listen, we're out there to serve people and to help people. I know I am. I know Charlie is. We're out there, and you know, it's worth it. You know, whenever you can take somebody that's, you know, going through foreclosure, or somebody that is, you know, they're just struggling and can't pay their bills, and they want, you know, they need an out, you know, that's what we are. We're that out for them, and we're there to provide relief. And so whenever you're out there, you know, we're out there just to serve other people. I made a video a couple, I think it was a week ago. We were trying to buy this lady's property in Lexington, and unfortunately we didn't get the deal. But because we served her so much, she sent us in the mail. She sent us like gift cards to all these restaurants. And yeah, it's nice getting gift cards and stuff, but it was just knowing, knowing that we were there helping her and she's seen that value, you know, so we were rewarded for that. So guys, just remember as you're going throughout your journey that we're here for one reason only, and it's to serve other people's through real estate. So, dude, I'm so pumped, man. And what we'll have, you know, to do in the future is bring you on and just hear like how the next flip, you know, this one that you're going on right now, how it went, you know, kind of what you learned through the process and, you know, just kind of pick your brain in the future. Is that cool to have you back on?
Yeah, absolutely. My favorite thing to do is to talk about all the mistakes I make. So I'm sure, and to learn from them, because I made a ton of mistakes. Like I've got 6 houses now, one will be flipped, but from the 5 I have before, I've made hundreds and hundreds of mistakes along the way.
Haven't we all, man?
Yeah. So like, yeah, I'd absolutely be happy to come on after when it's done, hopefully, and kind of talk about the lessons learned and hopefully make it easier for your listeners to avoid those when they're doing their deals. But yeah, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, let's end this out with one last question for you. So what are, I know this is kind of a deeper one for the last question, but I was going to ask it earlier. What is like, what would you say the pros and cons are that you've experienced of using home equity lines of credits?
Pros, usually easy to get. Depending how much equity you have in the property, you can get a lot of credit very quickly. Interest rates are very low compared to hard money loans or private money or any other, like using credit cards and that kind of thing. Yeah, so easy access, can get it quickly, low interest rate. The cons, you have to pay it back.
Like every loan.
And I mean, what you could say about any loan. But the only con, I mean, there's not a whole lot of downside. Because I mean, it's backed by the house.
Anything that people need to watch out for if they're, you know, wanting to utilize home equity lines of credits?
Yes. One, so my HELOC on my house in Virginia, the interest rate is 3.99%. However, the minimum payment is 1% of the outstanding balance. Whereas the HELOC I have in my house in Kentucky, it's interest only for 10 years, and then the payback happens. So what that means is for the one in Virginia, the interest, so if I pulled out, let's say I've pulled out $100,000, the interest on that is $400, I think, but my payment's $1,000 because they say you have to pay 1% of the outstanding. So you kind of like are crunched. I get why they do it because most people pull out HELOCs to buy a boat or something instead of invest in real estate. So that's where they kind of want you to start paying down the equity up front. But that's the only kind of gotcha I've noticed from it.
Yeah. So just make sure you know your terms, right?
Yeah, exactly. Got to read those, the fine print.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to ask questions, guys. Reach out to me, reach out to Charlie, or even your lenders you're talking to, or, you know, the credit unions, because credit unions are great, you know, access to home equity lines of credits. But don't be afraid to ask questions, guys. Even if you're brand new, listen, one question could save you thousands of dollars. So don't be afraid to ask. And, but Charlie, man, thanks for coming on. Great conversation, exciting things you got going on. And it's amazing just to see how you're progressing so fast, dude. So is there anywhere people can find you at, or, you know, do you want people to find you at anywhere or anything like that?
Yeah. Easiest places would be if you want to send me a message or reach out. I'm on PickerPockets. If you search for Charlie Ashley, you'll see a picture of me in this Airbnb before it was built up. And then I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. Should be pretty easy to find. And then I have a YouTube channel called Charlie's Pockets. Very creative. And I drop a video every Monday, and the focus for the next dozen Mondays or so is going to be this flip. So later today, I'll post another video about the closing process, everything that's going on there. So you'll get to see all the mistakes I make along the way.
Right.
And this is a pretty crazy house. A lot of the contractors I've brought over have said this is the worst house I've ever seen. That's awesome. It's a good one. Yep.
Well, guys, listen, I'll put the links below. Just you can follow Charlie at Bigger Pockets or on YouTube. Listen, make sure you go subscribe to his channel. You follow him on, you know, Bigger Pockets and stuff, because he's going to be dropping a lot of value for you all. So, Charlie, thanks, man. Appreciate you coming on with us. And everybody, thank you for tuning in for another episode. Watch out for next week's episode. We release these every Tuesday at 6 a.m. in the morning for all you early risers out there. So we can't wait to bring another episode to you. So God bless you guys. See you, Charlie.
All right. Thank you.